Okay, ladies, let's get started. And this feels kind of fun that we get to be in this beautiful room and be like princesses. If we had like a ballroom, we could have had beautiful dresses on and danced around. But this is great that we get to have at least, you know, one session. But what I would like to do is invite you women to have lunch with me tomorrow. I'm going to sit in one of the little rooms here somewhere. Tice is going to tell me where. But for those of you whose husbands are in ministry, or you're leading a small prayer group and your husband's teaching and you're kind of in full-time ministry, not necessarily paid ministry, but I just want to have a small little session with you tomorrow. Or maybe you're in the process of that and you're going to be doing that. I would just like to share a few things with you tomorrow during lunchtime. So the way we're going to do that is you get your food, and hopefully tonight I'll announce which room we're going to be in. So if you can remember that during lunch tomorrow, if your husband is a teacher in your home Bible study group, or you're in the process of that, or he's a pastor, I have some really strong words I want to share with you. No, I just have some things on my heart that I want to share with you. But today, I'm really not going to talk a lot, because I feel like a workshop is not necessarily for the person who does the speaking, but for everybody who comes to a workshop has to do at least some work. And hopefully, with such a big group here, hopefully we can still accomplish that. But my name is Inga Lil Guzik. And my husband is David Guzik, and we have been serving in Germany for the last 7 years at the Bible College under Pastor Nick and Sue Long. It's been amazing years. It's been incredible. It's been more fun than we thought ministry was allowed to be. And we feel that God chose our path to come to Germany. That was never, ever on our mind or in our imagination or ever a dream. And He just took our lives and transplanted us there for a season of our lives. And now He's brought us back to America, which was also surprising. We thought we were going to go somewhere else in Europe, and we were willing to go wherever that would be. But when your life is not your own, you kind of live very with a light touch on things, and you kind of let Him lead you and guide you, and it can be anywhere. And I was hoping it would be somewhere where I wasn't so familiar with the way of life, because I wanted a new challenge. But God has assured me there will be challenges in this ministry, and that I'm not going to have to, that I will have to trust Him in whatever place that He brings us into. And the main reason why we feel that we're back in the States is we have two sons that still need some parenting. And one is 19 and one is 22. So we're going to parent them, and then we'll see what God has for us. We're very excited. We feel in some sense we've abandoned you a little bit here on the field, on the home front. But we're available. If you need anything, we'll come running. If you need us for anything, we'll be there for you. So don't hesitate to ask us. Don't hesitate to ask us for prayer or anything. We want to be there for you. So, but this session today is going to have to do with hope versus reality. And I'm going to use some terms today, and I'm going to use some scriptures today that are going to bring your thinking, and that's part of the workshop, bring your thinking into a different place. We're so earthbound. We feel so connected to this world that unless we start thinking differently, we're not going to act differently. And we are different as believers. We are not of this world. And we have to change our way of thinking so that we can be in this world, but not of this world, like we heard earlier today. So go ahead and pray with me, and then we'll get into our study. Lord, You are here by your Holy Spirit to speak to each heart of each woman here and each situation and each life that she represents. God, you are the center of this session. What you want to say to each woman individually is much more important than what I have to say. And I ask, God, that you would use me, even though my failures and weaknesses and shortcomings are many, that you would still use me, Lord, to ignite a thought process in each woman today that will carry on throughout her whole life. And I pray, Lord, for each woman here that you would give her understanding by your Spirit. If there's a language barrier or words she doesn't understand, just tell her what they mean, Lord, or give her a special insight into it. I pray that nothing will hinder us today from receiving what your Holy Spirit has to say. So thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you for the women here. Thank you that we are sisters. Thank you that we're going to spend eternity together. Thank you that we get to know each other here on this earth for a season. So we bless your name and we ask you to speak to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I use this word reality, I want you to think of just the material world that we live in. That's kind of what we say, you know, wake up, this is reality. But then I'm going to use those words hope and faith kind of interchangeably so that you will understand that there is a whole different realm of your Christian life that functions in a spiritual realm that has a concept and idea that is not part of this world's thinking and part of the reality that you see with your eyes. So, and I believe that when you start understanding this in your Christian life, it's kind of like what we've been talking about in the Beatitudes. Once you realize the process that you are in, sometimes the small things that you go through aren't so huge. They don't matter so much because they're just a very small part and you just need to get through it. We as women have a tendency to make things much bigger than they really are. And it's okay to do that for a period of time, but we have to get out of that thinking at some point and think about the things that we're supposed to think about, and those are the things of faith. So you and I are in a process, whether we like it or not, we're in a process of becoming other than what we see when we just look at each other. Does that make sense? Okay. So you are who you are, and we see each other and we relate to each other, but that is only a part of you. This other part of you, the spiritual part of you, is the part that God is forming and conforming. So this is not a new Christian concept. This is what you know. You're in the process of being conformed to something that you are not now, but you will become. Okay? So when you understand the process that you are in, it changes your outlook on things, and it should change your outlook on things. You should be able to deal with things in your life in a way that others look at you and say, how do you even process that? How do you even think like that? How do you even do that? And you say, because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to think of. That's how I'm supposed to. And the supposed to part of your Christian life is the get to part. What we are supposed to do is more of a blessing than work. We get to enjoy the blessings of this Christian life in a way that is hard for non-believers to understand, right? When we talk about blessings, they don't even know, what do you mean blessings? It's like, what is that all about? Well, we live in a realm in our Christian life where we have the possibility to receive so much. Now, if I were to give you something and hand it to you, there is a receiving action that you have to produce, and that is to take it, receive it, and do whatever with it. That is the part that differs in each of our lives. We each have a process of receiving from God that is different from one another. I don't receive the same way you receive, but we're all given the same things by God. Does that make sense? Are you with me? So what you need to transform in your thinking is the process that you're in of receiving from God the things that you need to live in a realm that has to do with hope and faith more than it has to do with reality. Okay, so follow me here. If you want to turn with me, you can just, or you don't have to turn with me, you can just write it down, look at it later. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there is a very small little verse. I think it's before verse 14. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." How many of you have heard that verse before? Raise your hands. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That's a great verse. But it is very hard to do, isn't it? It's a very simple verse. "For we walk," it seems so a matter of fact. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And you just slip right through it and you think, yeah, well, that's what we all do. But is that really what we all do? What does walking by faith and not by sight look like in your personal life? That is what's going to make the difference, what I would say, between a mature Christian and a young Christian. Somebody who has walked with the Lord in this way becomes a mature Christian. You can have walked with the Lord for many, many years, but not walked by faith. You could have walked by sight. And it hinders you because you only walk in a way through what you see. And God desires for you, for me, for us as believers, to have a different vision when we walk this Christian life. So, in 2 Corinthians 5, it's funny how that verse is sliced in between verses talking about heaven and then talking about Christ's judgment of our lives. If you're to read that later, it's sliced in between us having a heavenly perspective and looking at heaven and the judgment of Christ later on. And then it wraps it up with the idea of what this walk is all about. Now you can look in verse 14 there, for it says this, "For the love of God compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, and those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Now that's also scripture that many of you might have read before, but there is a catchphrase in there that has to do with your walk and the walk of faith that you have chosen when you said yes to Christ being your Lord. You chose a walk that was not about you, that a walk that says it's no longer for themselves, and it's about a walk that is compelled by your love for Christ. There's anything else that is driving your Christian life other than love for Christ, it's going to be very hard and you'll be struggling a lot. So what I want you to see in this passage is that Paul wants us to see how our walk by faith is connected with principles that we need to think about. The love that we have for Christ, the idea that we no longer live for ourselves. Later on, he talks about that we are a new creation in Christ, that old things have passed away and all things are new. And then at the very end of that chapter, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." There is an ambassadorship that you have literally signed up for, that you have said, "I choose not to be a representative of my own life, but a representative of the person who has sent me." and that is Christ Himself. I am Christ's ambassador in this world. And we see that when we look around us, it doesn't take any faith to act upon what we see. But what it does take is it takes faith to act upon the things that we don't see. The realm that you and I live in, when we say, I'm praying about this, I'm hoping for this, I'm desiring this in my Christian life, or I want to see this, or I'm praying about my future, I don't know where I'm supposed to be, or what I'm doing, or my education, or my job situation, or my relationships. Those are the things that you and I operate in by faith. But I want to take it one stretch further. And I want you to see that in this, I think it was Daniel that was saying it this morning, how each of us have an area of influence, how each of us have the potential for influencing other people. Now, sometimes I put way too much burden upon myself on that, and I think, well, if I can just influence myself, you know, that would be good enough. If I can just get myself to be and do what God wants, but that's enough. And then if that influences other people, fine. And to not set out to influence others, but just be who God wants me to be, then that will influence them enough. But I really think that this spiritual realm that you and I are in, that we want to see God work in, we have a tendency to only play it safe. We don't want to expect too much of God. We don't want to hope too much of what God can do. We're a little bit afraid of thinking that God can do something major in my life or in the lives of those around me or in situations that I am in. And I kind of want to take a mirror. I've looked in this place and how many mirrors there are everywhere. And if I could shatter that mirror in your life, then a lot will be accomplished today. Because what happens when you look at your life in perspective to the hopes and perspective of faith, you tend to only see with your physical eyes. And where God has a whole different dimension. So if you look in the mirror, and it's as if you see way beyond. You don't even see yourself, you see way beyond. And you see the possibilities of what God can do in your life, in your situations. Then it brings a hope into your life. And it gives you the ability to take those steps of faith. Then you're not walking by sight. Then you're walking by faith. So, I think we can agree that you've heard it said, God has a plan for your life. We all know that, right? God, it seems like God has a plan for my life. It seems like there is a good plan that God has for my life. But what part do I play in the plan that God has for my life? Don't we often think about that? If my life is all pre-planned, then what am I supposed to do? What part do I play in the plan that God has for my life? Well, let me tell you what that is. The plan that God desires for your life is to allow all of His power to flow through you, so that He can do what He wants to do. Now, that might not seem very difficult, but it is. You and I know how hard that is, to let all those hindrances in my life, setting them aside daily, so that the power of God can flow through my life into the situations in my life that He wants to affect. In Ephesians 3:20 it says, "Now glory be to God, by His mighty power at work in us, He is able to accomplish," what does it say? "Infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope," or some of your versions says, "imagine." This verse, please write this down, because I really want you to look at this verse and examine yourself today through this verse. because I want you, it was Ephesians 3:20. Because I want you to figure out what is it in your life today, in your life situation, that you are not daring to ask about, hope for, or imagine. Because that is the part of you that needs to take steps of faith right now in your life for God's power to work through you for Him to do what He wants to do. Now, it's not a wishful thinking hope. And it's not a dream hope. Oh, I wish one day I would live in a beautiful home like this castle and I will have servants. It's not dreamy and it's not a wishful thinking. It's where is your reality today? Then you close your eyes and you say, what is it that God can do that I am not even daring to expect or think for Him to do? And it's not for you to tell God, oh God, I want you to do this because this would be really great. It's allowing your faith to take shape and say, God, I know this seems impossible. I know this seems bigger than what I can have faith for, but I am going to put my hope in that. And through that, your faith is released. Are you with me still? Okay, this is part of maturing as a Christian woman, and it's part of being a woman of faith that is not swayed by your emotions every time something happens in your life, and where it sets you back two steps. You go one step forward and three steps back, and one step forward and three steps back, because your thinking is so reality-based and not faith-based. So, there is this walk of faith that you and I are in. And when we take these steps of faith and they build upon each other, it becomes part of the new thinking that God wants you to operate in. He wants to do amazing things through you. He's extremely powerful. He's extremely awesome and mighty. Now, are you allowing Him to be that through you? I'm not saying you have to go out and do amazing things. That's not the plan. The plan is for Him to have a vessel like you that He can do amazing things in. And I'm not saying it has to be big, gigantic things. I'm just saying those things that you personally have a hard time with right now believing that He can do. That's the breakthrough part of you maturing and going to the next step in your walk of faith. There's another part of this walk that helps you understand it a little bit more. And that's in Ephesians 2:10 where it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's all about what kind of walk are you walking? Is it one of sight or is it one of faith? Are you enjoying the Christian life? Is it, and I don't want to use the word fun as in ha ha ha, we're having so much fun, but are you enjoying the Christian life? Or are you just kind of getting through it? You're just kind of struggling through it. It seems like everybody's struggling, everybody's going through trials. Or are you excited about the things that you have yet to see that God can do in your life? The lives around you, the situations you are in now, and the situations you might be in by faith. Now, I know that each of our situations come from different countries and cultures and situations. There are real limitations, right, that we deal with. either in Germany, in Finland, in Latvia, in Sweden, in Norway. America, there are real limitations, right? There are real struggles that you and I have to go through. And I can't ask you to pretend that they don't exist, because that would be unwise. But what I can ask you to do is say, let's approach those hindrances with eyes of faith and steps of faith. To say, God, these are real hindrances, real problems, real situations. But I'm going to close my eyes to what I see so that I can gain insight into the spiritual realm of what do you want to do, God? How do you want to expand what I'm doing? Or how do you want to use me, God, to make these hindrances not seem so monumental to those around me? This could be just a realm where you in your own family just need to say, you know what, I am not going to operate on the basis of what I see in my own family. I am going to walk, I'm going to hope, I'm going to speak, I'm going to live in the spiritual reality that says, with God, all things are possible, and without God, nothing is possible. So, it's the difference between what could be in the spiritual realm versus what you see right now. What are you dealing with in your life, in your relationships, in your ministries, in your jobs, in your life situation, that God wants to bring His power into your life and grow you so you can take a step in the direction that He wants you to go? I don't know what that is. I feel that during my preparation for this that I'm thinking, I really have to process this, God, because we get so comfortable. We just want, you know, it sounds kind of funny. I just want to get to heaven. I just kind of want to get through this life and make it to heaven and have all these troubles all gone with. But that's wrong. That's a really wrong mentality. It's almost like saying that this life doesn't really matter, and we know that it matters to God. So if it matters to God how we live this life, it better start mattering to me how I live this life for Him. Listen to this, because I want you to repeat this after I say this. What we hope in depends on our faith, and our faith depends on how big our God is. I'm going to say it one more time, then I want you to say it with me. What we hope in depends on our faith, and our faith depends on how big our God is. So say that with me. What we hope in depends on our faith, and our faith depends on how big our God is. Did you get that? What you hope in depends on your faith, but your faith depends on what is your perception of the greatness, the awesomeness, the almighty power of God. That transforms your thinking so that when situations come into your life, then you say, what I hope for in this situation depends on the faith, and that depends on how big is my God. God can only do in your situations in life what you are able to place your faith in for Him to do. Does that mean that God's hands are tied? I think as far as it depends on your personal life, He is. Your walk of faith is totally dependent upon how big you believe that God is. Now, it doesn't change God, because He's all powerful, but it changes you. And that's what we are into as Christian women. We want to be changed by the power of God that works in me so that He can do the things that He wants to do through me. Are you with me still? Okay. All right. Good. So, where does God want to take you beyond what you can ask or hope for or imagine? Where does He want to take you beyond what you could ask or hope for? That's your walk of faith. That's the place where He wants you to be in. So it's easy for us to look at reality around us. It's easy for us to see what's going on and get very discouraged, very depleted of strength and energy, very sad, very limited. I think you can almost do a reverse of what takes you off that mindset of hope and faith. What is it that gets you off that? Is it the idea of just seeing, well, this is just how things are and I just can't change it and nothing's ever going to change and I just how it is and that's just who I am and that's just who they are and I guess it's just always going to be that way. Is that the mentality that pulls you away from the walk of faith and the walk of hope that you and I are in? I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. And I know that that I've had to struggle through this. I've known I had to battle through it. I knew that I had to wrestle with it just like any other human being has to wrestle with it. But the place where I went to make it all change, and that's what I'm going to offer to you today, because I can stand here and talk to you and you can say, yeah, great ideas, but how do I change? How do I become different? Well, the concept and the belief and the ideas that you have of God, of who He is the key in all this. If God is not as big as He is supposed to be, as He should be in your life, then that's where the breakdown is in everything in your life. How big is your God? How big is your God? How mighty is your God? How much can He do through you? How much do you allow this mighty God to do through you? How much limits do you put on Him? How many times do you say, "No, Lord, I can't do that. No, Lord, that's too big for me. That's too hard for me." And He says, "But it's not, because you're not the one doing it." This is the pivotal point. It's kind of like you're standing at the edge of that, you know, trampoline and you're bouncing, you know, by the pool, and you're like, "I can't do it. I can't jump. I can't do it. I can't go any further in my Christian life than I am right now." Do you know that many of you don't say that, but you feel that? You don't really even think about it. You act like it. This is who I am, and I feel that, you know, yes, I'll get to know God more, but I don't think I'm going to do anything amazing. I don't think I'm going to be part of anything. And God wants you to jump in with both feet first and say, "Okay, God, you do it. I'm going to let you be God in my life. I'm going to act like a woman who says, I'm a woman of faith." So do you understand this? That God does want you to act in a way that displays where your faith is. In the Sermon on the Mount, I don't know who's going to touch on it, but we're going to go through that part where Jesus says, "Don't worry and be anxious for nothing." And you're going to say, yeah, I know this. And it's going to be a great message. I don't know who's going to be doing it, but it's going to be a great message. But a message that doesn't make me change isn't going to do me any good, right? A message that I'm going to say, "Oh, that was a great message and I took great notes," but I walk away and I'm not letting it change me. Does it matter? And I really want you to understand this. Does it matter that Jesus says to you, "Don't worry," and you still worry? Does it matter? Does it matter that Jesus says, don't be anxious for anything, and you still act in a way that shows that you're anxious? Does it matter to Him? Does it make a difference for you when you hear something that challenges you to say, oh yeah, that's great, but you know, this is just the way I am, and I'm probably never going to be any different. Does it matter to God that you believe Him when He says, don't worry about anything? Or does He sit there and say, oh, well, yeah, that's Ingalil. You know, I know she's a worrier, and I'm just going to leave her alone, because if I leave her alone, she'll leave me alone, and I'll just, you know, we have this understanding, and it really doesn't matter if she doesn't trust me or believe in me or believe that my words really mean what they mean. No, see, this is where I need for you to take a real hard look at yourself and do a reality check. And the reality check should say, is my reality that I'm living in more about what I see, or is it about what I don't see? What God can do through me. I want you to turn to one chapter in Jeremiah, and then I'm going to conclude with this pretty soon. I want you to see something, and I want you to see it together with me. If you look in Jeremiah, and this is a place in where the children of Israel had been stubborn for a while. You know what stubborn means? Do you all know the word stubborn in your own language? What's it in Swedish? Mane tvärig, va? Envis, mane envis. What's sturig? Sturig. Stur in German. Anyway, stubborn. Not that we can ever really relate to that, but that's what the children of Israel were. They were stubborn. And they thought that they could have God on their own terms. They thought that God would just look away when they were doing wrong, or that it wouldn't really matter to God if they did things right or wrong. Look what it says in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. So now the Lord says, stop right where you are and look for the old godly way and walk in it. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, travel its paths, for you will find rest for your souls. But you replied, no, that's not the road we want. And then God says, I set watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the trumpet. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention. Therefore, listen to this, God says, all you nations, take note of my people's condition. Listen, all the earth. I will bring disaster upon my people. It is the fruit of their own sin because they refuse to listen to me. They have rejected all my instructions. There is no use now in offering me sweet incense from Sheba. Keep your expensive perfumes. I cannot accept your burnt offerings. Your sacrifices have no sweet fragrance for me. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will put obstacles in my people's paths. Fathers and sons will both fall over them. Neighbors and friends will collapse together. So you can try to live the life that you live and bring sacrifices to God. And what are the sacrifices you and I bring? It could be worship. It could be offerings. It could be devotion. It could be going to church. Those are our Christian life, so to speak. You can do all that and have a heart that doesn't want to listen to God's instructions for your personal life. He has set it up so intimately for you. He is so personal for you as an individual that it makes a difference when you personally respond to God's voice to you and His instructions to you. You don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. I've signed up for the same life. Life that says it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. You can try to bring Him those offerings and sacrifices, but if you don't believe in what He says, you don't listen and act on what He has asked you to act upon, then why are you living the Christian life? I don't mean to be mean and I don't mean to be harsh, but this, you've voluntarily said, I want to be a Christian. You've said, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior and I've given my life to Him. But if He can't pour Himself into you and His power in and through you, then yes, you'll be in heaven, we'll make it to heaven, but this life will not be all that God intended for it to be for you. So, how great is your God? How big is your God? How much do you know how big He is? How do we find out how big He is? How do I know how big my God is? We read His Word. We find out what He did, how He did it, why He did what He did. And then we get an understanding of what matters to Him, how big He is. Then we start to see what He might possibly want to do through my life. Then we can get excited. Then we can say, yes, God, I know this seems like it's an amazing life in the Bible, but there's nothing more amazing about their lives than there is about our lives. Or Christians who have gone before us and walked this walk before us. Missionaries, people who have spent their lives for Him. Many of you are in your small fellowships, and it's a sacrifice. Talk about that. Enjoy that. Walk in that in a new way, not limited by what you see, but what God can do beyond what you see. And I really truly believe that you can change today. You can be different today. I really think so. I really think that when you decide as a woman, it's kind of how we are wired. When you decide on doing something, you do it. When you set your heart to doing it, you do it. And when you set your heart on doing something of God, don't give in to any lies, any voices, any discouragement, any limitations that this world puts in front of you and says, no, you can't, no, you shouldn't, no, you won't. God, if God is in it, He's going to do it through you. And it could be as simple as a relationship, could be as simple as a job situation, could be as simple as a ministry situation. Don't let anybody tell you, and I mean tell you, because you have voices in your head, just like I do. I know the recordings that go on in my mind, and you have them in your mind, that limits you. Don't listen to them anymore. Get rid of them and replace them with a walk of faith. Now, I'm going to read to you at the very end here, and then we're going to close. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 40, because this is the antidote to walking by sight. Because this is, I have found, one of the most amazing and one of the best passages for me to read through over and over again in Isaiah 40, reading the whole chapter so that I have a full picture of God and His greatness, largeness, and majesty. So if you want to follow along with me in your own version, you can do that, or if you just want to listen to me. But it's a long passage, so pay close attention to the progression of God revealing Himself of who He is. And I guarantee you that the Word of God in and of itself will change your thinking, and it will expand how you perceive God to be. That is going to be the key in your life. How big is your God? And this is a great place to start in the Bible. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and that her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her in full for all her sins. Listen, I hear the voice of someone shouting, make a highway for the Lord through the wilderness. Make a straight, smooth path through the desert for our God. Fill the valleys and level the hills. Straighten out the curves and smooth off the rough paths. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. And I asked, what should I shout? Shout that people are like grass that dies away. Their beauty fades as quickly as the beauty of flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Messenger of good news, shout to Zion from the mountaintops. Shout louder to Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in all His glorious power. He will rule with awesome strength. See, He brings His reward with Him as He comes. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in His arms, holding them close to His heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Who else has held the oceans in His hand? Who has measured off the heavens with His fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed out the mountains and the hills? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to be His teacher or counselor? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does He need instruction about what is good or what is best? No, for all the nations of the world are nothing in comparison to Him. They are but a drop in the bucket, dust on the scales. He picks up the islands as though they had no weight at all. All Lebanon's forests do not contain sufficient fuel to consume a sacrifice large enough to honor Him. All Lebanon's sacrificial animals would not make an offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are as nothing to Him. In His eyes, they are less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. To whom then can we compare God? What image might we find to resemble Him? Can He be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or is a poor person's wooden idol better? Can God be compared to an idol that must be placed on a stand so it won't fall down? Have you never heard or understood? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words He gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. The people below must seem to Him like grasshoppers. He is the one who spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes His tents from them. He judges the great people from the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, and He blows on them and their work withers. The wind carries them off like straw. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out one after another, calling each by its name. And He counts them to see that none are lost or have strayed away. O Israel, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? How can you say that God refuses to hear your case? Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depth of His understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out, and He offers strength to the weak. Even youths will become exhausted, and your young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength, and they will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I think I want to end there because we end on the walk. The walk that you and I are in, there is that walk. You will not grow faint. You will walk and not faint. That's what His desire is for you. That is what you have the ability to receive from Him. What is keeping you from receiving everything that He has for you? I don't know what it is. But if it is unbelief, if it is a lack of trust, is it a lack of hope, then you can change that by knowing how great He is and how much He wants to do for you and through you. It's about His greatness to shine through you. It's not about you. It's not about you being this amazing woman that can do everything, superwoman. It's about what is God able to do through you so that others will see Him in you. That's the great part of it. So let's pray. Let me just pray for you. And then I want to take just about 15 minutes. And I want you... Well, let's pray first. Father, I am so glad that we do not serve an idol that can be made by human hands, but that we can be in this world and not of it, not bound to the restrictions of this world, but we can be free in You, free to see You, to experience You, to know You and the power that comes from You to us. Lord, I am so glad that I don't have to figure out this life. I don't have to strive in it. I don't have to struggle in it. Because You have done all that. I need to receive what You have for me, God. And I thank You that the process that I'm in is much more enjoyable now than it used to be, God. So help me and help my sisters here to choose a daily walk of faith that is not bound by what she sees. Lord, we love You. We love each other. We want to be there for each other. We want to encourage one another. But if we can't encourage each other by reminding each other how great You are, then it's just wishful thinking that we're encouraging each other. So God, help us to be women full of faith, full of joy in the walk that You've given us to walk. So, Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Isaiah, who so clearly described You as so wonderful, so great and so big. Help us to walk as if we believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I would like you to do, and I'm only offering this to you if you want to do the exercise of this, and that is, if you can just turn to the closest person next to you, just two of you, because otherwise it'll take too long. And if you could, and I don't want you to be overly personal or share things that you shouldn't share or say things that you shouldn't, you know, in confidence, but have somebody express to somebody else just one little thing, or maybe one big thing, in your life that you would like to see God do something with. Just something that it just seems a little bit hopeless. It just seems a little bit too big. And that's what He wants you to focus. What is too big for you to ask for or hope for or imagine that God can do? And then pray about that. And just offer a very simple prayer of faith. Basically, you're saying, Father, Daddy, Daddy, do this in my life or in somebody else's life. You might be having just a great time with your own walk of faith, but you're having a hard time believing that God can do something in somebody that you really care about. So turn to one another and share a very simple thing, and then pray for that, and then you're dismissed.